Our reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, starting at verse 36. And the title is, Jesus Anointed by a Sinful Woman. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learnt that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Yes, I'm excited about being with us this morning. And of course, as we've already said, we believe God orders our steps as believers in Christ. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share, for us to share fellowship and to share in God's word. So for some time, there's the series on the Gospel of Luke, and I've been reading especially the seventh chapter where we've got our text from, and I have found that the Gospel of Luke is unique, very unique in a few ways, because he's constantly trying to highlight the necessity of humility, right? And he also approaches the issue of, people are self-righteous. And we see a lot of people today in the world. And Luke also likes to focus on the overlooked, those who are down and out, those who are broken, those who are failures, those who are excluded, those who are, who have no voice today. And I pray that just like Dr. Luke will be passionate about speaking up for people who have no voice in our society today, those who are excluded, those who are looked down upon, as we see Luke focuses on. And he's also always blown away with the Lord's compassion to be willing to save us, the very worst and undeserving sinners. He is very willing to save us. And also, he highlights the problem of those who play down on the salvation of Christ. Looking at Luke chapter 7, we see that he tells three records in this chapter. Dr. Luke talks about the two great miracles, right, that Jesus performed. You remember the healing of the centurion's servant and also the raising of the son of the widow of Nain. And also his reply to the question posed by John the Baptist. You remember in verse 19, John sent this question to Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And Jesus replied, and with this was, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended in me." And also the last one which we're going to concentrate on is the record he tells about the anointing of Jesus Christ by a sinful woman. I'd like us to look at it in two ways this morning. First of all, Luke explores the event. He presents to us an event of a great story in the life of Jesus Christ. And then secondly, he presents to us a parable of Jesus. And this parable shows us two responses to Jesus based on two different attitudes to sin and to grace. We will see both of them, the way they approached the subject of sin and also the grace of God that they have received. Let's look at the beginning of that passage in verse 36. This is an event and shows a heart of love of this woman, humility and gratitude, and on the other way, shows the aspect of this Simon being stoic in worship. I like people who are very willing to express their gratitude to God and willing to show our love for Christ. And we do that in different ways. We don't do it all the same. We have different ways of doing this. But Dr. Luke began by saying, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him." You know, as soon as I read this, I quickly told myself, this is not a goodwill invitation. This was not what done in good heart. You know, he did this just to be able to find dirt, to find fault from Jesus Christ. He wasn't just trying to invite him because he loved him. You know that the Pharisees and Jesus are always opposing to each other. They are always trying to show their self-righteousness and always opposing what Jesus stood for. And to me, it's much like a Greek gift. That's what I said to it. You know, he invited Jesus just to look for a fault in Jesus. But he says, "And Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat." That shows me that we should be very open to every person, not discriminate, right? Because if we don't approach people and welcome them, if we don't accept their invitation, then there is no how we will affect their lives. We should be very open to any person. And it goes on to say, "And behold, a woman in the city." A woman in the city who was a sinner. And I should say that this, I've picked this from the New King James, right? Which is, slightly different from the NIV, but it says, "A woman in the city who was a sinner. But when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil." A woman in the city, a random woman in the city. It is very customary in those days for strangers to just find their way in the house where a Jewish rabbi visits. They don't need any special invitation to just come in. And so it was very good right for her to have done that. So a random woman from the city. I hear some people say, maybe this might be Mary Magdalene or Mary of Bethany, but the emphasis here for me is just a random lady from the city who was a sinner, who had lived a sinful life. She heard and she decided to show her gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. But she brought something precious to show her love for Jesus. I wonder what we bring when we come to the presence of God. I wonder what it is that we think we have. And I remember in 2 Kings, I think in chapter 4, when the widow of the prophet came to Elisha, because a creditor was trying to be on her neck and everything, and she came to Elisha and sought help from Elisha. And in verse 2 of 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha asked her, what do you have? Tell me, how can I help you? What do you have in your house? And she began by saying, well, I have nothing, until she, you know, recollected herself and said, except a little jar of oil. I like to say that, you know, I've met, you know, a few Christians who feel that they have nothing. I always say there is no person who is useless in the body of Christ. In the church, we are all gifted differently. Perhaps it's time to look inwards and find out. It might be that little flax of oil that you have. It might be your smile. It might be your time. It might be your resources, it might be whatever it is, but we've got something. We all have something. Don't look down on yourself. We might not be this lady that brought a costly alabaster flask of oil, but we still have something to come to Jesus to show our gratitude. And this woman was a sinner. She had lived a sinful life. And when I read it from the New King James, I came away with this, that it's a perfect tense when it says she was a sinner. So it indicates an action which had already taken place in the past, but the effect is still being felt in the present. So she had been forgiven. And I like to say that we are all, like this woman, being forgiven. Whatever we already have been in. Don't let the enemy remind you of your past sin, because the blood of Jesus is ready. The blood of Jesus is ever ready to wash us, who was a sinner. Do you know, when I say this, I say that Jesus had already forgiven us our present and our future sins. Yes, but what he's waiting for us is just to accept it. Just to accept, just like healing. Jesus said in his word, by my stripes, you have been healed. All right? It's left for us to accept the salvation, to accept the healing. There is this man of God who the Lord used very mightily in Africa. He died a few years ago. Originally from Germany. I don't know if you've heard of Reinhard Bonnke. I was part of his crusade team in Nigeria while I was there. I remember he told a story, a little story, on one of his crusades in my hometown. He said that there was a time that someone was dealing on soap. He was a seller of soap. He was peddling soap all around. But he was still dirty. He was still dirty. And someone came up and said, why is this man dirty even though he sells soap? And the other man says, well, if you don't use the soap, you will remain how you are. All right? That you are someone who produces soap or who sells soap, it doesn't automatically make you clean. You have to use the soap on yourself so that you can be clean. And that's the forgiveness of Jesus for you. Jesus, already his forgiveness is there for us, waiting for us to accept his forgiveness. But Jesus went on to say something to Simon, and that will lead me to the second part of this presentation. Well, if you can go on to the slides. Go on and show us the slides. Yeah, just go on. Right, so we've already read the passages. So, like I said, anointing of Jesus, but we are looking at this woman's gratitude to Jesus by the way of the fragrant oil she brought. So go to the next one. And I have already said that Luke tells three records in this. So you can go on next one if you like. Right, thank you. Thank you. I should have known that. All right. Well, so this woman brought an alabaster of oil to show her gratitude to Jesus Christ. But the Bible went on to say that Simon, in his heart, you know, said, well, if this man were to be a prophet, he would have known what man it is. Is it off now? Yeah, so I'll do it now. Don't worry. Yeah. Right. So this is. Right. So concentrating on this event, and you know, it means a lot, you know, to me as I read it, what this woman did and what Simon also did when he saw this. And like I said in the beginning, Simon invited Jesus for a meal. It wasn't because he loved Jesus, but because he wanted to find fault. Why did I say that? Because he should have been the one to kiss Jesus, to welcome Jesus, to wash his feet as custom demanded. But he didn't do all that. He just invited Jesus, and he was too full of himself. He felt like he didn't need salvation. He was very self-righteous. But here came this woman who was very grateful for what Jesus had done for her. And she came to the feet of Jesus, weeping, perhaps remembering her past life, perhaps remembering what Jesus had brought her from. And she wet the feet of Jesus and washed it with her hair and cleaned everything because she was so grateful to Jesus Christ for what he had done. Why the woman did this? The Bible says Simon, in his heart, kind of said, well, if this man were to have been a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman this is, for she is a sinner. And let me say this. You know, people will always remind us of who we have been. But Jesus looks at us based on who he wants us to become, because he wants us to walk with him. I'm sure you believe with me that whenever we come to him, no matter where we've been, what sins we've committed, he will receive us. He will accept us. And as that was going on, Jesus decided to confront Simon. He said, Simon, I want to speak to you. And Simon said, all right, sir, what do you have to say? And the Bible said he looked at the woman and addressed Simon, "Do you see this woman? Ever since I arrived at your house, she has never ceased kissing my feet, wiping it out, appreciating me. But what did you do? You were just there alone, doing what? Nothing. But this woman had already accepted me with all her heart. And did you see this woman? I'm looking at her based on what she has become. A washed, blood-washed, saved believer." And Jesus looks at us based on what he wants us to be. And so Jesus put up a parable, and I'll close with that. The parable of the two debtors. And going through the Bible, if I will bother you a little bit, there are other parables that, you know, have the same kind of similar characteristics. The unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18, 21 to 35. The two sons in Matthew 21. The parable of the good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. The parable of the unjust servant in Luke 15. The Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke chapter 15. And the lost son, the prodigal son, also, they all have the same similar characteristics. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 2 denarii. One owed him 500 denarii, which is like a 2-year wages, and the other 50, like a 2 months wages. And they had nothing which to repay, but he freely forgave them. He freely forgave them both. We don't have to pay anything to receive God's salvation. We should just accept. And the Bible says, which of them will love him more? Simon said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And Jesus said, "Yes, you rightly judge. You have judged rightly." And Simon, do you see this woman? Simon, I want you to see her love. Simon, I want you to see her gratitude to me. Simon, I just don't want you to look at this woman. I want you to look at how she received me. You gave me no kiss, in verse 45, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Let me say that she was not forgiven because she loved, but she loved because she was forgiven. And I think that should, you know, make a difference. And I tell people, we don't come to God because what we will get in return. We don't give because we want to receive, even though that's what the Bible says. But we come to him because we love him. And we give because we love the Lord. Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What you have received, go and share with others." I am very passionate and interested about evangelism, using our gifts, using our talents to go and serve Jesus. What you have received, don't hold it to yourself. You are saved, don't hold it to yourself. You've been saved to share with others. Go into the community. Go back to your family. Go back to your friends and share what you have received. And you do that in peace, go in peace, because the gospel of Christ is a gospel of love. We don't come to condemn people, but we bring them the peace of Christ. Go in peace and share what you have received. And as I think about this and trying to close, I remember the story of William Cowper. You remember William Cowper, the poet and the Anglican hymn writer? And in 1773, the story was told of William Cowper that he was kind of maybe passing through some mental health issues, and he decided to end it all. And so he hired a caravan to take him to London Bridge so that he could jump and maybe end his life. And there they went, driving around the streets of London, because it was very foggy and the driver was not able to find his way and see where he was going. And what should have taken him 15 minutes or so took them 2 hours and got nowhere. And frustrated, William decided to turn to the man and ask him, "Where are we now? Are we there not yet?" "I want to make a confession to you, sir," he said. "I have lost my way. I don't know where we are going." And William was so angry with the man and everything, and he jumped out of the caravan, only to walk 2 minutes and find he was still in his house. 2 minutes he was in his house. And as he reflected on that, he wrote this song, "God walks in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform." And because of what he passed through came a ministry of ministering to others who were passing through some mental health issues. Because this woman had been forgiven, she had been a sinner, Jesus said, "Go in peace." I believe that God uses us based on where we've come from. And he wants us to use our experiences to minister to others, like William Cowper, to minister to people who are passing through issues in life. We've all been forgiven. No matter how big our sins, we've all been forgiven. But we should be grateful to God. We don't come and love him because he has forgiven us, right? All right? Yes, because he has forgiven us. Right? He didn't forgive us because we are good. He didn't forgive us because we loved him first. But we want to love him because we have been forgiven. And I like to say there is no sin that is as big that Jesus cannot forgive. And there is no sin that is bigger than the other. We are all the same in the eye of God, but we have been forgiven. Let's go in peace, using the forgiveness we've had, using the giftings we've received, using the opportunities we have. It might just be a smile. It might just be a kindness shown at a grocery shop to someone. It might just be, you know, that presence that we have with people. Let's use it to minister to people, and the Lord will surely go with us. Let us pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you will help us, equip us, enable us, Lord, to go in your name. And we are grateful to you, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives, the forgiveness, the healing, the opportunities that we've had. Lord, we pray that you will help us to use what we've received from you to minister to other people. Equip us, Lord, with your spirit. Help us, Lord, that as we go, we will go in peace. We won't condemn anyone, but we bring them the peace of Christ. The peace that passes all understanding. Heavenly Father, we pray that your word will be in our hearts, and that everywhere we go this day and this week, that you will present opportunities before us. We pray that you open our doors before us, and that at the end of the day, all glory and honor will be given to you. Lord, as we go, may we decrease,
that Jesus will increase in our lives. And may the glory always be to your name, name above all names. We pray, O Lord, for people who are going through things in their lives, perhaps some mental health difficulties, perhaps some family struggles, perhaps the toll that the cost of living crisis is having on all of us, perhaps the political problems as we've been praying about. We pray that you will help us, Lord, that we will receive from you that calmness that you have forgiven us and that you are with us. Thank you, gracious Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.